All right, thank you guys. If you would, please remain standing. Turn to Judges chapter 14. Judges 14. We're going to read verses 8 through 20. Judges 14, 8 through 20. A lot of verses today, but I didn't want to spend a year on Samson, I don't guess, so I'm trying to get through it, but there's just a lot here. Judges 14, 8 through 20. Children's Church, yep, sorry, she even told me. Children's Church, second grade and below, if you guys want to go upstairs. Children's Church. Okay, 8 through 20. It says this, "After some days he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of a lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees in the body of the lion and honey. He scraped it out with his hands and went on eating as he went. And he came to his father and mother and gave some to them, and they ate. But he did not tell them that he had scraped the honey from the carcass of a lion. His father went down to the woman, and Samson prepared a feast there, for so the young men used to do. As soon as the people saw him, they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said to them, 'Let me now put a riddle to you. If you can tell me what it is within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothes. But if you cannot tell me what it is, then you shall give me 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothes.' And they said to him, 'Put your riddle, that we may hear it.' And he said to them, 'Out of the eater came something to eat, out of the strong came something sweet.' And in 3 days they could not solve the riddle. On the fourth day they said to Samson's wife, 'Entice your husband to tell us what the riddle is, lest we burn you and your father's house with fire. Have you invited us here to impoverish us?' And Samson's wife wept over him and said, 'You only hate me. You do not love me. You have put a riddle to my people, and you have not told me what it is.' And he said to her, 'Behold, I have not told my father or mother, and I shall tell you.' She wept before him for 7 days that the feast lasted. On the seventh day he told her, because she pressed him hard. Then she told the riddle to her people. And the men of the city said to him on the seventh day, before the sun went down, 'What is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion?' And he said to them, 'If you have not plowed with my heifer, you would not have found out my riddle.' And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and struck down 30 men of the town and took their spoil and gave the garments to those who had explained the riddle. In hot anger, he went back to his father's house, and Samson's wife was given to his companion who had been his best man." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, again. So much here, Lord, and so much for us to learn and apply to our lives today. I pray that we do that. I pray that you're glorified today as we go through this text, and you're honored, and we can learn from this and apply it, and that in all things we glorify and honor you. In your name I do pray. Amen. You may be seated. We had a great week. I'll tell you, this week, we Thursday night, we went out to dinner with Zach and Christina and Robbie and Betty, and they put up with Celine and I, and we went and had ice cream, and we had a blast, didn't we? I don't know, our elders, so we've been trying to do that, is spend time with people in the body. And so I encourage you, if you want to hang out with us today or you want to go out and eat dinner with us, let us know, because Celine and I want to do that, get to know people in the body better. Maybe we've already told you we would and we haven't. Remind me. I have a bad memory at times, but it's just been a great week, and we got the kids up at Lake of the Ozarks. They're having a blast. And so a lot of stuff going on. Got the float trip next week. I encourage you to get signed up for that. On the bidding out there. All good things, right? Growing the kingdom. So we're back in Judges today in 14 and looking at this. And honestly, I there is a lot of stuff here, but I know you wouldn't want me preaching on Samson for probably a year, and you probably could actually. But just a quick review from last week to get us caught up to today. We looked at the first problem that Samson was getting himself into, and that was an eye problem. Samson had saw this Philistine woman, and he wanted to marry her. And Samson wasn't supposed to do that. That was wrong. God had told them, don't intermarry with other people. You marry Israelite women. Well, Samson didn't do that. God's word had clearly told him to do that. Samson was just going with what is pleasing to his eyes. So he was looking and seeing something that he liked and said, I don't care what God's word says. I'm going to do it. We also looked at the path that the part that Samson wasn't guarding his path at all. That he had taken this Nazirite vow. And a part of this Nazirite vow was he's not supposed to have anything to do with grapes or wine or raisins, anything that came from the vine. Well, you see, what does Samson do? He starts walking right in the middle of a vineyard. That's where he kills the lion at. So he was putting himself in a position to fail and to break his Nazirite vow. And so that's exactly what ends up happening, right? And also we talked about how his father didn't warn him. His dad didn't say, hey, Samson, you shouldn't be around this vineyard. Get out of here. We need to do that. We need to warn each other and our children when they're in danger, when they're doing things that they shouldn't be doing. That's our responsibility. So today, we jump in this today, and Samson has killed this lion with his bare hands, which is just amazing, right? I mean, just an amazing feat. I don't know if you've ever been to the zoo, but you go to the zoo and you see a lion, you think, yeah, there's no way I'm messing with a lion. Samson killed the lion with his bare hands because God was working, right? So he's on his way back to Timnah because he's found this woman. He wants to marry her, and now he's going back, and he brings his parents with him. And he kills this lion, and he doesn't tell his parents that he's killed the lion. And then they go back home, but then on the way back, they see this carcass of a lion. And it has a swarm of bees inside, and they've made honey. So Samson grabs some, which is against his Nazirite vow. He's not supposed to go touch anything that's dead. And in the text, we can kind of have a big debate on this, whether, well, was it a dead body? Was it a human, or was it anything dead? And I've read opinions on both. I think that it was anything dead because Samson touches and he gets this honey from the lion and he gives some to his parents, but what did he not tell them? He didn't tell them where it came from. Why? Because he didn't want him to know he had touched a dead carcass. So I tend to lean more that Samson was not supposed to touch anything that was dead. He did. And so he's broken his Nazirite vow. And so, but that's kind of the first point, that Samson has broken his Nazirite vow, but it just didn't start with the lion. This is a progression of sin here with Samson. It didn't just start with the lion and go to the honey immediately. You see this progression of sin. If we remember back in that passage that we read out of Numbers chapter 6 on the Nazirite vows, that Samson, not only was he supposed to not touch any dead bodies, he wasn't supposed to go near vineyards. He's not supposed to go anything dead. He wasn't supposed to go near vineyards. And so Samson, he does exactly what he's not supposed to do. He doesn't tell his parents. What is he doing? He's now hiding his sin. He's now hiding things from people that would, obviously, at one time his father was trying to hold him a little bit accountable. When he initially heard about the Philistine woman, his father said, what? You can't marry her, if you remember that. So Samson knows there's some accountability in his life. Not enough, but there's some. And he's starting to hide that. And you start to see, starting to hide his sin, start to hide this progression. And you see this progression of sin in Samson's life. First, it starts off with lust towards a pagan woman that he doesn't turn from when his father warns him. Now he doesn't guard his path by walking through this vineyard. He's putting himself in a position to fail. Now he's killed a lion, and now he's eating honey from the carcass, all while hiding it from all of his accountability. And so you see this progression of sin. That's really no different today. I got to start thinking about what are some good biblical examples besides Samson that we can look at that maybe we can learn from this on this progression of sin that Samson's going down. And it starts from the very beginning. I mean, one of the first things that happens in Genesis chapter 4 is God is talking to Cain. And Cain gives us a great look at what we must do when sin is tempting us. So turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 4. Just want to read one verse, Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. And there's a warning here that God gives Cain. Now, if you know, ultimately Cain doesn't heed the warning, but it's the same warning that God would have given Samson. It's the same warning that God would have given us today. It's in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. It says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. It is desirous contrary to you, but you must rule over it. God's so amazing here. What is he telling Cain? He's saying, look, if you do well, what does that mean? If you do right. God's saying, if you obey my commands, if you do what I tell you to do, then it's going to go well. Everything's going to work out. If you don't do what you're supposed to do, if you want to go out on your own and do what you want to do, it's not going to go well. I mean, here's the thing. Cain knew what was the right thing to do. Samson knew exactly what he was supposed to do. He knew. He knew he wasn't supposed to go around dead things and eat out of dead things, or he wouldn't have hit it. He knew that he wasn't supposed to marry a Philistine woman, but Samson was on his own program here. Samson wanted to do what he wanted to do, and he chose wrong. He chose wrong. He chose to do the wrong thing. And so what happens with Samson is this progression of sin with him keeps going and going. And church, it's going to keep going with us until we turn to God and say, God, I'm submitting to you. I'm turning from my sin. I'm trusting in you. I'm not going to be on my own program anymore. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to honor you with my actions. Cain, he didn't take care of it. God said, hey, Cain, you know the sacrifice that I want. Do it. Won't I accept it? That's what God's telling Cain. What did he do? He let that anger, that hatred keep boiling up in him. He killed his own brother because God had rejected his sacrifice but accepted his brother. Sin is crouching at the door. It's there. And it's not only there for Samson, it's there for every one of us. It wants to get us. It wants to get us. Ultimately, sin is from Satan. It wants to devour you. And so this progression of sin with Samson keeps going and going. And not only does it keep going and going, it gets worse and worse. It gets worse and worse. How could Samson have stopped it? Submitting to God. He could have said, okay, God, I'm going to honor my Nazirite vow. God, I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to do what you want me to do. Just like God warned Cain, turn from this bad attitude, Cain. Turn from your attitude and your disobedience and be obedient. God warns all over that sin is crouching at the door. You know what that word means in Hebrew? This is what it means. It means lying down, as in resting, or lying in wait like a predator of prey. Remember I read a verse last week out of Peter that said, what is Satan like? He's compared to what? A roaring lion. You ever watch those National Geographic shows where they show lions hunting? What are they doing? Crouching, walking through the grass, just waiting to pounce. That's exactly what the Hebrew word means. It's weighing in wait like a predator for prey, just like Peter described Satan. The same verb is also associated with an ancient term for demons that they believed guarded entrances to doorways or to buildings. You ever scare somebody? I'm a prankster. I am a notorious prankster. And me and Hunter especially. I mean, if I know somebody's getting home late, I've been known to wait outside by my truck for 20, 30 minutes just waiting for them to walk inside. And I'll jump out. Ah! And they just throw everything up in the air. I've been known to shoot a gun up in the air. I mean, I'm ornery with this. I mean, scare them to death, right? That's what they are. That's what they're describing as demons, waiting by doorways, waiting for you to walk in, waiting to get you. The text in Genesis chapter 4, it characterizes sin as a demonic presence or a predatory animal waiting to pounce on Cain. It's no different. Samson, listen, it's crazy. Samson was the strongest man that the world has ever known. When God worked in him, there was nobody stronger than Samson. I'll preach a sermon maybe in 2 weeks or 2 months, I don't know. But when Samson lifts up the gates from Gaza, do you know how much they weighed? The estimated to weigh? And he carried them like 15 miles. Thousands of pounds is what they were estimated to weigh. These aren't like a little garden gate. These are the gates of the city that he pulled up out of the ground. Samson was the strongest man the world had ever known. He couldn't master his sin. He kept going back and back and back. How do we master it, though? What could Samson have done? Now, it's not by our own strength or our own ability. It's through Christ. It's through Christ. What does Scripture tell us? James chapter 4 says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So how do we master this? Submitting yourselves to God. God, I'm not going to be on my program anymore. I'm not going to do it my way anymore. I've had enough of trying to do it my way. I'm going to do it your way. I'm going to submit to you, God, in everything. I'm going to resist this evil. And you know what? It goes on to somebody else. You know, I mentioned last week, and it holds true here. What's that animal group we talked about last week that circles up? Elephants. They protect one another, and they're strong, and they have a defense mechanism. When lions see that, when a herd of lions see that, what do? I ain't messing with them. I move on. I want to move on to something weak that's by itself, that's off by itself. Listen, when you're resisting Satan, when you're submitting to God, he's working in your life. Satan goes, I don't want to mess with this anymore. I want to go pick somebody off that's easy prey. Submit yourself to God. How do we do that, though? Oh, I mean, here's some New Testament scripture. How does this apply to us? Turn to Galatians. Turn to Galatians. Read several verses here. Galatians chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. I'm going to read through 25. Got several verses here. It says this, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." I could stop right there. What does that mean? You're walking in Christ. You're walking in the Spirit, and you're not going to gratify the desires of the flesh. "For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, fits of anger." What did the passage just say about Samson? That he had hot, red-hot anger. He shouldn't have been angry. Why would Samson be angry at all? He's trying to marry a Philistine woman. They aren't going to be loyal to him. He had no reason to be angry. Who he should have been angry at is himself for putting himself in that position. You start to see some of these sins, you see him playing out at what Samson's doing. Let's keep going. "Rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warned you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." I point that out because Samson had no self-control at all. If he saw it, he wanted it, he was going to get it. He let his eyes do it. He had no self-control at all. "Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit." It's about God taking over your life. It's about you are submitting to God. He is working in your life. Now these fruits of the Spirit start to come out. It's real simple. Whatever you fill yourself up with, that's what's going to come out. If you fill yourself up with garbage and junk, junk's going to come out. If you fill yourself up with sin, sin's going to come out. If you fill yourself up with God's Word. Now, I'm not saying I do this perfectly. Please don't listen, church. Don't ever look at me as the example, okay? I'm a miserable failure. Look at the cross for the example, okay? Because men fail. He doesn't. Please, I should set an example, but I don't do it perfectly like Jesus is what I'm saying, okay? Hold me accountable when I don't, but Samson had a huge problem with self-control. What is one of the fruits of walking with God? Self-control. It all goes back to this. Samson wasn't being obedient to what God wanted him to do. Now, was God still going to work? Was his plans going to be thwarted because of Samson's disobedience? Nope. You're still going to see a whole bunch of Philistines get destroyed because that was God's plan. But could God have done it another way if Samson was obedient? Oh, yeah. I'm going to point out one to you here in just a second. Here's the second thing. So we see this progression of Samson's sin. Now, here's the second thing. Let's go to this. We see the deceit of the Philistines. We see Samson's riddle and the Philistine deceit. So Samson's at this wedding feast for his new bride, which is customary. It lasts a whole week. I mean, it's a whole week. And so a riddle in that time was like something that you would do at a wedding or a banquet to entertain. It's like an amusement. It's a funny thing. So this starts off as like just a good wagerly. I mean, they're betting. That's what they're doing. They're like, hey, I bet you can't solve this. A bunch of guys get together. I bet you can't do that. And, oh, I bet you I can. And then it starts. Well, if you can, you got to give me 30 change of clothes. That's how it started. Because these are supposed to be his companions. These are his best man and his groomsmen, right? And so they're at this wedding feast, and these guys, they don't like Samson. They don't care about Samson. They're at this wedding feast for 3 days, and they start to worry. We can't afford this. We can't afford clothes. Back then are expensive. Garments are expensive. It's not like today. You go down to Walmart or JCPenney or wherever and buy some clothes. No. This is expensive stuff. And they're thinking, we can't do this. So they start to worry. They don't want to pay Samson. We don't want to give him anything. Even though it's his wedding, you would think at his wedding feast they'd be there. Why? He's not their friend. He's their enemy. They're Philistines. Samson's an Israelite. They don't care about him. They don't care about Samson at all. Now Samson, we see, has friends that he shouldn't have. Now, I wish our youth were here this morning. Got a couple of them, a few of them are. Oh, this is a youth sermon right here. The people that you hang out with and you are friends with is exactly who you are going to become. If you hang out with people that are little drug thug dealers and want to play gang and want to do stupid things and be disobedient to their parents, but you think, well, I'm just trying to minister to them. Well, you ain't strong enough as a youth. That's what you're going to become. I can't control my kids. Well, you can while they're in your house. If my kids want to go hang out with somebody that I don't know, I don't just say, oh, yeah, I'll go hang out with them. I mean, if they move out of my house, I don't have no say in it. But while they're in my house, yes, I do have a say in it. You're going to hang out with who I tell you you're going to hang out with. And you're going to be friends. And you're going to date, even if that's even acceptable at a young age in high school, who I think is acceptable for you to go out with. It's your responsibility, not theirs. Well, I say this a lot, and I used to say this to youth all the time, and I say it to Sierra and Kyle. You better be teaching this. The inmates don't run the asylum. The parents do. Right? And this is important because Samson's hanging out with people he should not be hanging out with. They don't have his interest at heart. Look, if you're around low character people who don't love God that are rebellious, more than likely you're going to turn into low character rebellious who don't love God. You know, we had a good time Thursday night. You know why we had a good time? We honored God. We talked about ministry. Because I'm with good, high character people who love the Lord. You know, I mean, it's just, look, you understand that, like, if you're hanging out with somebody and they're like, hey, I'm going to stop at the convenience store, you drive me away, I'm going to go in and do something, and they shoot somebody and kill somebody, you're going to jail for murder too. Accessory to murder. It's the truth. I remember in high school one time, I don't know how I got saved out of this, the Lord's gracious, very much so. I had a couple of buddies who I was really good friends with after school one day. One of them's a vet now. You guys know what I'm talking about, Max and Carol. And I won't mention his name, but we were after school one day, and those idiots decided to take a truck and go through people's yards and make big, huge ruts in their yards and bash some mailboxes in. And, of course, they got hauled up to jail, and their parents had to go up there. And, I mean, their parents were, they destroyed them. And, luckily, I hadn't gone that day. But you know what? It was a wake-up call for me. And it was for them, too. Like, hey, we're not young men like this. It's good for them because they turned out to be very productive men today, right? But it was good for them. Like, hey, who you hang out with is what you become. We better be careful who we hang out with. These companions of Samson, they don't care anything for his wife. They don't care about her. What do they do? Threaten her? They tell her they're going to kill her and burn her family? If she won't tell them the answer to the riddle? Total deceit by the Philistines. And Samson's wife. What does she do? She goes along with it. Well, I'm scared. She isn't loyal to Samson. Why isn't she loyal to Samson? Because she's a Philistine, Samson. You shouldn't be marrying a Philistine. She shouldn't have been in that position to begin with. Listen, when you're married, when you enter this covenant under God of marriage, your first loyalty is to the Lord Jesus Christ and then your spouse. No other human should you be more loyal to than your spouse. That's it. Jesus says so. Once again, very back in the beginning, Genesis 2:24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, hold fast to his wife, and they become one flesh. Not two, one. You're one. Samson knew that. Samson knew this. Samson knew what marriage was supposed to be. Samson thought his wife... He got tired of listening to her nag at him. That's a whole nother sermon, possibly. Definitely not today, ladies, I'm sorry. But, He thought, hey, my wife's got my back. She's going to support me in this. Oh, no. No, no, no. I believe that she would have had his back if he would have married an Israelite woman. If he would have married an Israelite woman, well, what would have happened? Samson's wife would have went to him and said, Samson, those men are threatening me. They're threatening to kill me and my family. They're threatening us. And then what would Samson, because they want to know the riddle, then what would have Samson done? He would have wiped the floor with all of them. And God would have used them to kill Philistines just like he did later. But Samson wasn't doing that. He was in sin. Now, was God's plan going to work where Philistines still got killed and defeated? Yes. But it had negative consequences on Samson. And it leads Samson, because of his disobedience, into more sin. But she's loyal. His wife is loyal to the Philistines and not Samson. And Samson knows he's messed up. Because what did he say? If you had not plowed with my heifer, you would have not found my riddle. Fellas, here's my advice today. Don't ever read that verse to your wife. Avoid that verse, okay? Unless you want to be in serious trouble. But Samson knew not that woman couldn't be trusted. And so he knows. So what does he do? He loses the bet. And he goes off into another city to pay off the debt. And what's he going to do? He goes and kills. Verse 19, the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and we knew that God was going to use Samson to attack the Philistines. He goes off into another city, and he kills 30 innocent guys. Now, they're Philistines. They're Philistines. They didn't know about this riddle. They didn't know about any of this. Now, I believe that if Samson would have been obedient to God in the first place, then 30 people from another town would not have been killed for their clothes. And here's the big question. So did he murder them? Was it an act of war? Did he murder them? There's a little bit of debate on this and studying it this week. I tend to believe, and I could be wrong, okay? So don't hold firm on this. I believe he murdered them. Now, I don't know for sure, but I do believe in the next chapter, when we get to the next chapter, in verse 3, in chapter 15, Samson says, this time I shall be innocent in regard to the Philistines when I do them harm. Was that? That means you were guilty the first time when you did them harm. Why were you guilty, Samson? Because you murdered 30 of them for their clothes. He went into a furious rage and he murdered 30 men. Samson wasn't innocent in his own words. He was guilty. Now we really see the picture of the first point. We see a progression of sin with Samson. It's quite shocking. Lust of the eyes, disobedience to the commands of God, breaking his Nazirite vow, and now murder. Now possibly murder. That's how quick it can happen, church. It's quick, just like that. Samson's angry, and he goes back home. Who does Samson have to be angry with, though? Himself. Himself. Take a look in the mirror, Samson. Take a look in the mirror. Church, you know, most of the time we get ourselves into messes. I'm going to pick on Ace and Marty, right? Ace did the classic thing. Now, I'm not beating up Ace for this, but what did Ace do? It's Marty's fault. We want to blame everybody else when we should look in the mirror and say, it's my fault. I got myself into this mess. Samson wanted to have a relationship with a Philistine woman. It got him into a big time mess. He didn't submit to the commands of God. It got him into a big mess. Big mess. Listen, Samson is the only person that he has to be angry at. Now, verse 20 sets the stage for the next chapter, where Samson's going to defeat the Philistines and start to judge Israel. But you know what happens in verse 20? Samson's wife was given to his companion, who has been his best man. Samson goes home angry, and his father-in-law immediately gives his daughter to a Philistine man. Wrong move, pal. Wrong move. And you're going to see in chapter 15. You're going to see Samson catch a whole bunch of foxes, which is a pretty amazing passage. And I'll just leave it at that. Samson goes home angry. His father-in-law gives her away. Samson had not given her a certificate of divorce. He had not given her a certificate of divorce. He wanted a period of a few days of separation. Why? Because he had been embarrassed. He was embarrassed that he lost the bet. He was angry that he lost the bet. And once again, the father-in-law, he wouldn't know about a certificate of divorce from Deuteronomy chapter 24. He wouldn't know about that because he was a pagan Philistine. You see how this all happens? Samson's actions and choices looking from lust have consequences on everybody involved. Everybody involved. The Philistines are deceitful. They aren't loyal to Samson. Samson wanted a loyal wife that was attracted to his eyes. He just looked in all the wrong places. He looked in the wrong place. He looked at what his eyes wanted and not what God's word told him. It's a big time problem. I put this. Here's what I want you to remember from today's sermon. Hopefully more than just this, but if you remember something. If you look in the trash can, you will find trash. If you look in the jewelry box, you will find jewels. Where are you looking? Now, here's my thing. Where are we looking? Not just about relationships. Not just relationships and marriage, but marriage. Friendships. Our friendships. But where are we looking every day of our lives? Not just in these marriage relationships and personal relationships, but where are we looking every day of our lives? What are we searching for? To honor God with our actions and decisions, to be obedient to Him? Not because we're compelled to by any other reason than we believe and understand that Jesus did everything for us on the cross. And because He did everything for us on the cross, we want to honor Him. We want to honor Him because of what He did. Not to earn our salvation, but because He saved us. Because He died for us. Am I looking in the trash can? You're not going to find jewels in a trash can. If you have a young lady you're wanting to propose to, are you going to go looking in the trash can for a ring? No. You're going to go to a nice jewelry store. You're going to pick it out. You may even ask her, what kind of ring do you want? Because you care about them. Hey, look, am I looking in the trash can every day, or am I looking to be a jewel for Christ in how I live my life, to honor God? I'm going to ask our worship team to come today. We're going to close up. My prayer this morning, church, is this, that we're looking in the right places. That we're looking in the right places. That we take care of our sins when they're little and not when they become big and are out of control. Because sin progresses. I remember somebody said this one time, I'll never forget it. It was in a sermon, I don't even remember who it was. But they said, if you take care of little things, you won't have big things to take care of. If Samson would have took care of the lust in his eye from the very beginning and listened to the godly counsel that God had given him and his father, we wouldn't be where we are today. We wouldn't be. Many times in our own life, if we would just take care of it when it was little, we wouldn't be into a big problem, into a big mess. Now here's the thing. Maybe you're in a big mess right now, and you acknowledge you're in a big mess. Okay, I've been in big messes. Every single one of us in this room have been in a big mess, right? I love that we serve a gracious and loving God that lets us turn around and go back to Him. That we can just get down on our knees and say, God, I've made a mess out of this. You know what happens with Samson at the end of his life? That's exactly what he does. Samson acknowledges, I have messed this whole thing up, but God, use me one more time. Use me. That's such a prayer. That's what we need. We need Christ. The whole point of today is we need Christ. We need Jesus to take away sin, to put us on the path. Take it away. We need Christ. We saw today that Samson's companions cared nothing for him. His wife cared nothing for him. Look, that is a picture that I tried to relay earlier, that humans will fail. Don't put your trust in preachers or humans. Don't put your trust in people. Love people. Care about people. Grow with them. But your trust has to be in Christ alone. That's it. Look, you can have the best preacher around. I mean, you could have, listen, last week, famous preacher in America, John MacArthur passed away. Faithful man of God, right? Preached the word. I didn't agree with him on 100% of everything, okay? He's a faithful man of God, passed away. Fought during COVID to keep his church open. I mean, so many amazing things. Teachings, has commentaries that we read. I mean, amazing. But you know what? He's in the grave. He died. One day, the preacher that you follow is going to be dead. And in heaven. Don't follow preachers. We can end up like Samson. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow Him. Listen, here's the final verse. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your
path straight. He'll direct your path. That's all we have to do. It's all you have to do today. I'm asking you to stand. If you need to come, if you have questions about baptism, about salvation, maybe you're in a big mess. Maybe you have a little sin that you need to take care of. You can. I'll pray for you if you want me to. You can pray directly to God. You don't have to come up here. You can pray in your seat. You can come up here at the altar. This isn't a stage. This is an altar where you can get close to God. That's the whole point. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, today for your word. I thank you for this passage. It is very, very meaningful. I pray this morning that we take care of the little things before they become big things. And when we have big things, we submit them over to you. We look at your word. We be obedient. We know what we're supposed to do. Now we need to do it. And God, we learn from this. We learn from Samson's mistakes. I know, I believe with all my heart, he's with you in heaven right now. You used him. He made mistakes that we can learn from, that he would tell us today, if you stand in here, don't make the mistakes I made. And so we have them to learn from. Let us learn today. Take heed lest we fall. Be on guard for Satan, the enemy. Lord, we love you and thank you. In your name I pray. Amen.